Thank you. Let me introduce our speaker for this morning. But before that, the children may take your leave. Or the adults can take the children out. It's good to have a children's ministry again. So this morning, it's our joy to have back with us Dr. Yee Chin Hong. We have been blessed with many years of his faithful, impactful teaching here, both on Sundays and also at our church camps as well. So Dr. Yee is a faculty member at Trinity Theological College, or TTC, where he teaches Old Testament. Before joining TTC in 2020, he was with Crew Singapore for 25 years, serving in various capacities. During this period, he also taught Old Testament at the East Asia School of Theology from 2016 to 2019. He and his wife, Lishan, and their two daughters worship at Bethel Presbyterian Church, where he also serves as a lay leader. So today, Dr. Yee will be preaching from Psalm 84. His topic is Blessings in the Valley of Baca. Dr. Yee, please.
Very good morning to you. Can you hear me okay? It's very good to be back here, to be with you, to see familiar faces as well as new faces. My name is Chin Hong, and very glad to be able to share God's word with us this morning. Our text this morning is from Psalm 84. Shall we open our Bibles to Psalm 84? I'd like to read the text before we get into it. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. We can come to worship you. Thank you for giving us your life-giving word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would work in our hearts, grant us receptive hearts and minds to your word, that we may respond to you, Lord, as we listen to the word of truth. Grant that, Lord, we may leave this place doers of your word. We commit this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is 2nd February, Thursday, a little over 3 weeks ago now. I'm sitting on a chair in the intensive care unit of a local hospital. On the bed in front of me, our daughter Jaemin lies sleeping. Not soundly, but fitfully. It is not easy to sleep in the ICU. First, there are the many unwieldy lines, some for drips, others for sensors. Some plugged into the body, others clipped on, or in some other way, attached. Then there are the lights, not bright enough for reading, but never quite dim enough for sleeping. And of course, the ICU is not exactly a quiet place. Doctors doing their rounds, nurses checking in every now and then, patients breathing laboriously or groaning in discomfort. Monitors beeping monotonously, every now and then letting out louder, more high-pitched alarms. It is not easy to sleep in the ICU. But now, finally overcome by fatigue, our daughter sleeps. It's been a long week. 3 days earlier, after feeling unwell for some time and 2 visits to the doctor's office, Jaemin was rushed to A&E after fainting at home. Now that she can finally sleep, I settle into my chair and, taking out my mobile phone, I pull up the online lectionary that I use, where one of the Bible readings for the day is Psalm 84. Verse 6 captures my attention. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. I find myself particularly drawn to the Valley of Baca, unknown as a place name outside Psalm 84. Some identify the Valley of Baca with the Valley of Rephaim, southwest of Jerusalem, because Baca grows there. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Some identify it with the Valley of Rephaim because Baca grows there. Baca is the Hebrew word for a tree, conventionally the balsam tree. Baca is not only the word for balsam, it is also the verb that means to weep. The two definitions may actually be related, since the balsam weeps resin, the thick, sticky substance produced by some plants. So the Valley of Baca may be rendered the Valley of Weeping. That is how the Chinese Union Version, the most widely used Chinese Bible, translates it. As you can imagine, the Valley of Weeping resonates readily with someone sitting by the bedside of a loved one in the ICU. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, have you known a Valley of Weeping in your life? You may even be walking through one right now. A place of tears, trials, and tribulations. A place of heartbreak, helplessness, and hopelessness. A place where fear gets the better of faith. A place of long, exhausting days, and even longer, sleepless nights. What does Psalm 84 tell us about the Valley of Weeping? Who are they who pass through the valley? How are springs, rains, and pools related to this valley? Reading verse 6 again, we find that NIV adds a footnote at the end of the verse, telling readers that the final word of the verse, pools, translates the Hebrew word that can also be taken to mean blessings. In fact, that is how NASB puts it. The early rain also covers it with blessings. Blessings in the valley of weeping. Blessing and weeping, they don't really go together, do they? Yet, surprisingly, verse 6 is not the only place in Psalm 84 that mentions blessings. We discover that verses 4, 5, and 12 all contain the word blessed. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And verse 12, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Each of these three verses tells of a quality or trait of someone who is blessed. In the context of this psalm, we can say that it is these God-blessed people who pass through the valley of weeping in verse 6. As they do, weeping turns into blessing in the most unlikely of places. This morning, brothers and sisters, I invite you to join me in a meditation on blessings in the valley of Baca. In today's scripture, Psalm 84, three blessings are true of those who pass through the valley of Baca. Each is summed up by one of the three verses I've just read. Verses 1 to 4 describe the first blessing, the blessing of home. Psalm 84 depicts pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem during one of the annual festivals, perhaps the Festival of Booths or Tabernacles, to worship God at the temple. For that reason, the temple is prominent in verses 1 to 4. Every verse in this section refers to it in some way. The dwelling place of the Lord in verse 1. The courts of the Lord in verse 2. The altar in the temple in verse 3. And the house of God in verse 4. I'm sure you can think of places that hold fond memories or special significance for you. Since the travel restrictions were lifted, many have lost no time in making travel arrangements to visit their favorite holiday destination. For the pilgrims of Psalm 84, the Jerusalem temple is much more than a favorite holiday destination or even a place that holds special significance. It is very much home. Listen to how the psalmist expresses the homesickness of the pilgrims. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty, the psalmist exclaims in the opening verse. This verse seems to be describing the beauty or grandeur of the temple. But the Hebrew word rendered lovely refers to something or someone who is beloved. In this case, it is the temple that is beloved, that is beloved by the pilgrim. Verse 1 thus expresses the pilgrim's love for the temple. Verse 2 elaborates on this love. The first line says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Yearns suggests keenness or desperation, while faints implies that the speaker is consumed by such yearning. Together, the two words depict someone who is torn apart by longing. The longing for home. Home, of course, is more than a house. In the second line of verse 2, the psalmist continues, My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The pilgrim longs for the temple, not so much for the physical space, but for the living God he or she can meet at the temple. Home for the pilgrim is where God is. The metaphor of home becomes explicit in verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Some understand this verse to make a how much more comparison. In other words, if even the insignificant bird has found a home in God's temple, how much more the pious pilgrim? That reading, however, doesn't quite explain the next line, which says that the bird's home or nest is a place near your altar. Why would birds want to go near the fiery and smoky sacrificial altar in the temple, much less make their home near it? More likely, this verse is not about the bird. It is really about the worshipper. The worshipper is that bird. The altar represents the temple, a place of refuge and safety. This verse is a picture of the small and defenseless worshipper finding his or her home in the house of God. The last part of verse 3 supports this understanding. It underscores the safety of dwelling in the temple by highlighting who lives there, the Lord Almighty. Many English Bibles use the Lord, spelled in small caps, to represent the personal and covenantal name of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. How is Yahweh Almighty? Verse 3 ends by saying, Yahweh is both King and God. Not only that, he is my King and my God. That is the King and God of the psalmist, the pilgrim, the ordinary Israelite. The King and God who is committed to protecting and providing for his people. Like the bird who finds a home in the temple, the worshipper finds the refuge, safety, and protection of home in the house of the Lord, because his or her mighty King and God lives there. No wonder the psalmist exclaims in verse 4, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house." They are blessed because they are at home with the Lord, no longer homesick, because their deepest longings and needs have been satisfied. The first four verses of Psalm 84 thus paint for us a picture of the blessing of home. For the Israelites, the blessing of being home with the Lord is the motivation and goal for their annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem. The blessing of home is worth all the hardship and dangers of the pilgrimage. The blessing of home outweighs the trying transit through desolate deserts and lonely valleys. It is, after all, transit. They will soon be home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. But what if that house is no more? The temple in Psalm 84 likely belongs to the period of the monarchy, since verse 9 alludes to the king. That temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in the 6th century BC. The second temple, rebuilt after the exile from the 5th century on, was eventually destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Do the worshippers of God lose the blessing of home with the loss of the temple? Thanks be to God. The answer is no. The New Testament teaches that with the coming of Christ, the church, made up of all true believers of Jesus, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because of the redemptive work Christ accomplished on the cross, God has come by His Spirit to make His home amongst His people, individually and corporately. Dear brothers and sisters, we, not the temple, is God's dwelling place. If that is true, then unlike the Old Testament people of God, Christians have no need for pilgrimages to Jerusalem or anywhere else to experience the blessing of being at home with God. We can meet with God anytime, anywhere. Yet it is in the church, not the church building, but the body of Christ, it is in the church that we are most at home with God, because it is in the fellowship of believers that we embody God's presence and God's hospitality to one another. Beginning with the earliest fellowships in the book of Acts and the one another commands in the epistles, the New Testament everywhere portrays church life as bodily and communal. For that reason, I do not think that family life in our spiritual home, the church, can be fully lived out remotely or virtually any more than family life in our earthly homes can. 3 years of pandemic saw many churches becoming skilled at live streaming worship services. This was an important spiritual resource in the days when in-person worship services were suspended or restricted. Now, the challenge is encouraging members to come back to church. If you or someone you know haven't made up your mind about rejoining in-person worship services, come, don't miss out on the blessing of home. The second blessing in Psalm 84 is found in verses 5 to 7. The blessing of home away from home. For God's people in the Old Testament, the blessing of home described in verses 1 to 4 can be readily experienced by the priests and Levites who serve in the temple, and by the residents of Jerusalem who can spend time in the temple as often as they wish. Israelites who live outside Jerusalem typically visit the temple as pilgrims and only for the duration of the festivals. That, however, does not mean that the blessing of home is inaccessible to them the rest of the year. In verses 5 to 7 of Psalm 84, the psalmist affirms that believers can experience home away from home because Yahweh's presence and activity are not confined to the temple. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." The Hebrew of the second line simply says, "in whose hearts are highways." In the context of the temple in verses 1 to 4 and Zion in verse 7, highways calls to mind the route pilgrims take to go to Jerusalem, also known as Zion. So ESV and NASV have "in whose hearts are the highways to Zion." NIV's "set on pilgrimage" is a paraphrase. Verse 5 appears to be saying that those whose strength is in the Lord are those whose hearts are connected by highways to Zion. They experience strength in the Lord because their overriding desire and concern is to worship God in Zion. And because Yahweh not only dwells in Zion, but is present and active everywhere, believers can be at home with Him and experience His strength, even when they are away from their spiritual home in Zion. This truth is validated in verse 6 as the pilgrims pass through the valley of Baca. Whether or not the Hebrew word Baca actually points to a geographical location, the connotations of weeping are hard to miss. The text does not tell us why it is called the Valley of Weeping, but the mention of springs, rains, and pools in the rest of verse 6 suggests that a dry and arid landscape is the cause of hardship and grief for the pilgrims. We are also not told how the pilgrims make the Valley of Baca a place of springs. Based on the previous verse, we can only surmise that these strong in the Lord pilgrims must have walked through the barren valley, trusting and counting on the Lord to send rain. And He does, so that everywhere they pass through, rain follows them and covers the valley with springs and pools. We have noted just now that the word for pools can also be taken as the word for blessings. The pools of life-giving water are the blessings in the Valley of Baca. Blessings that result from the Lord being with them, strengthening them, providing for them right there in the dry, desolate valley. Though away from home, they are home with the Lord. Back in the ICU, I take comfort in as they pass through the Valley of Baca, not if they pass through. The Hebrew simply says passing through, or those who pass through. Brothers and sisters, we all pass through the Valley of Weeping at some point in our lives. Some of us more than once. A serious illness, an unexpected loss of income, a freak accident, the loss of a loved one, the bottomless pit of depression. The abundant life God promises believers is not a life without hardship, pain, and suffering. The comforting and fortifying message of the Bible is not the absence of valleys, but the presence of God in the valleys. Right there in the valley, in the midst of suffering and pain, we can find refuge in Him. We can experience the blessing of home away from home. This is especially true of New Testament believers, since God's Spirit lives amongst them. When you and I reach out and minister to those who are walking in the valley of weeping, we bring the comforts of home to them by embodying the presence and peace of God. That is what my family experienced in the past month, when our daughter was hospitalized not once but twice in the short span of 3 weeks. Brothers and sisters in Christ came, some talked with us, some brought us food, some prayed with us. All came to be with us. In their presence, God was present with us. To us, they were home away from home. The final 5 verses of Psalm 84 contain the third blessing, the blessing of coming home. Believers have the privilege of coming home to God anytime, anywhere. We do that by actively trusting God. Verse 12 talks about the blessing of coming home. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Trust is expressed in two ways in these few verses. First, through prayer. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, says the psalmist in verse 8. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Our shield usually refers to God in the Psalms, as it does in verse 11 in today's passage. But it can also apply to human leaders. In verse 9, the parallel noun, anointed one, in the second line, indicates that shield here refers to Israel's king. Now, how is praying for the king related to pilgrimage and worship at the temple? Well, Psalm 84 consistently reflects the pilgrim's concern for the strength, refuge, and protection that only God can give. We see this especially in how the psalmist addresses God as Lord Almighty, literally Yahweh of armies, in verses 1, 3, 12, and now also in verse 8. Who commands the armies but the king himself? Not surprisingly, as we have seen, the psalmist calls the Lord Almighty my king and my God in verse 3. Given the psalmist's constant appeal to God as the source of strength and protection, the prayer for God to look on the earthly king in verse 9 is an expression of trust in the heavenly king, whose favor is now sought to enable Israel's king to be effective in protecting the people, like a shield, and in administering godly reign, as he has been anointed to do. Notice how Yahweh is addressed not only as Lord Almighty in verse 8, but as Lord God Almighty, further emphasizing that Yahweh is Israel's God and powerful protector. That is not all. He is also God of Jacob in the next line, an endearing title that emphasizes Yahweh's personal relationship with Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, come home to God by trusting Him. The Christian faith is not blind faith, but faith in the living God, who is both Lord God Almighty and God of Jacob. At once, high and mighty, and near and personal. If you are walking in a valley today, pray to God. He knows where you are, what you are going through, and He walks with you. If you are not passing through a valley today, pray to God. The times of calm when all is well are not only to be thankfully enjoyed, but are precious opportunities to build up our spiritual reserves through spiritual exercises like praying and studying God's word. We need those reserves. The second way trust is expressed in Psalm 84 is to live with integrity. Verse 10 connects worship with how we live. The pilgrim much prefers to be worshiping God in the Jerusalem temple. But the truth is, life goes on, and day-to-day living takes place among those who do not know or obey God. How is the believer to live among the wicked? With integrity. The second line of verse 11 says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The word translated blameless is the adjective that means whole, with integrity. To live with integrity is not the same as being sinless, as the word blameless may suggest. It is to be one in how we worship and how we live. It is to be the same person in church and in the world. It is to both exalt God as King in our songs and prayer, and to live under his kingship at home, work, and play. That, I think you would agree, is not always easy. Belligerent bosses, conniving colleagues, nasty neighbors often make it hard to be the same person on Sunday and in the rest of the week. The key, I think, is not trying harder, but to keep turning to God in faith, to draw on his grace and strength. For that, the first line of verse 11 reiterates who the object of our faith is. The Lord God is a sun and shield. By exposing wickedness, the sun is a refuge for the oppressed. By sheltering from danger, the shield offers protection for the weak. To all who live with integrity by faith, God grants favor and honor, that is, all good things. Whether you are walking through the valley of weeping or struggling to live out your faith in an unbelieving world, this morning, Psalm 84 invites you and me to experience the blessing of coming home to the Lord by trusting him. Trust him in your praying. Trust him in your living with integrity. Many years ago, I heard someone expressing disapproval for the lyrics, "I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence." Do you sing that song? We would be dead, he pointed out, if we were where God is. Who can stand in God's presence and live? Well, on the one hand, that opinion overlooks what we have seen this morning about God being at home with his people. It is entirely appropriate, I think, for Christians to yearn and faint, as the psalmist did, for being home with the Lord in the here and now. On the other hand, his comment is not entirely mistaken. I think he's thinking of our heavenly home, where God dwells forever. The author of Hebrews puts it this way. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This morning, Psalm 84 reminds us of the blessings of home. As you and I pass through the valley of Baca, and we will, we do not walk alone. God is our home. He is present with us in every valley, especially through the fellowship of believers. He invites us to come home to Him in the here and now through a life of faith. Like the psalmist and the ancient Israelites, Christians are also pilgrims, foreigners and strangers on earth, as Hebrews puts it. Some of us may have become so at home in this world that we forget this world is not our home. May Psalm 84 rekindle our yearning for our God and King, so that we may always be homesick for the better country. Others may feel weary or discouraged as the valleys in life test our homeward bound faith. May Psalm 84's reminder that we have a home away from home in God and in His people comfort and strengthen us. We will soon be home. He will bring us home. Thank you so much that we have a home in you. Lord, thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for your hospitality through Christ, through what He has done for us on the cross, His death, His resurrection. Lord, in some mysterious way that we can hardly comprehend, you now live amongst us. We thank you. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, may your presence be evident. May your peace be evident in this church as we gather each week, that we may be, we may embody your presence and peace to one another. For my brothers and sisters who may be experiencing the valleys of life right now, Lord, would you comfort and strengthen each one? Remind us, Lord, of your sweet presence, of your strong presence, that your arm is not too short to save. Lord, we look forward to be with you. We look forward to that day when, Lord, you shall receive us home, home to be with you forever. We thank you for this blessed hope, this blessed assurance that we can have in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.